This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, Standing Guard. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. For people in crisis, on the verge of a breakdown, or maybe even thinking about taking their own life, there is a number to call at any time, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline.
If you or someone you know is suffering from suicidal thoughts, please call 1-800-273-TALK or go to the website www.suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The ads for it are everywhere, online, on TV, at bus stations. And when somebody calls the number, it's routed to one of more than 150 crisis centers around the country, depending on that person's area code.
Lifeline, this is Paul. How can I help you?
If you're calling from around Philadelphia, you might connect with Paul Butler.
What got you to call me today? All right. Tell me a little bit about that.
Paul is one of the people staffing the crisis line.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, holidays, hurricanes, earthquakes, we're here.
Alana Gordon recently caught up with Paul in between calls, and he told her about an experience he had one night that really stuck with him. One quick note, there are descriptions of somebody in acute suicidal distress, and that might be difficult for some listeners.
For me, my average length of phone calls 10, 15 minutes, but I certainly do phone calls that can be in excess of an hour. I mean, it's always a worry. It's always a worry in the back of your mind that somebody is going to do something that ends up, harming themselves. I can remember one phone call in particular where I was really concerned that I was going to hear a gun go off. The gentleman had said he had gone off into the woods. He had, brought his firearm with him. He had been drinking. He did not see any other ways around. He had picked out a spot. He had made a plan. I couldn't hear him walking in the woods, but he did cock his weapon into the phone to prove that he, in fact, had a weapon with him. He specifically stated, I've called you because I'm in a very rural area. I know you're not going to find me, but I want you to make sure that somebody finds my body, My heart was surely bouncing out of my chest at the time. And I remember it very clearly. I remember sweating. I remember it was a summer evening. It was nice outside. And I remember just sitting on this phone, looking out the window and thinking, I really hope that this isn't that phone call.
What did you do after that? What were the steps?
So I really wanted to try to establish who this person was. And so I worked through him telling me about himself, what kind of life did he live? Did he have family? Did he have kids or the people who he was connected to? And we walked down that. I think that he at that time had felt really abandoned. But he also had some ego, and he had some gravitas. When we started going down the road here and I wasn't getting resolution, I was talking like, listen, let's slow everything down. There's no need for immediate decision right now. You don't have to rush into anything. You're safe. There's nothing that requires you to do this right now. I self-disclosed about my personal life. I have children, and sometimes we have these challenges parenting and try to build that rapport that, I'm somebody who also has kids. There's a lot of commonality about us. And he did respond to that, and he appreciated the conversation, but still was saying, no, I'm not going to back down.
Do you remember if there was like a moment where you kind of had a breakthrough with him?
I think that it was the challenging him. I was like, you're not going to do this because you don't want to do this. And I think the line that I used to him was, you're not going to call in and schedule a suicide with me. I'm not the schedule a suicide line. And you're not going to put me in a position where I have to find somebody to locate your body. That's not fair to me. And if you're not going to do it for yourself or your family, you're going to do it for the poor call taker on the other side of the line. And that's not the approach that I think that I would take with every caller, but he responded to that because that's the kind of person he was. The sun was coming up as we were having this conversation, and ultimately, through 2.5 hours, I remember he said he really just appreciated having somebody listen. And that ultimately, that was what he decided. He wasn't going to do this. And he dismantled his gun.
You could hear him
do it. Yeah, I could hear him do it. He made sure that I heard him, and I heard him start walking back home. He was walking down this rural road. Ended with him saying, "Thank you." I guess the cardinal rule would be, you're never going to rush a conversation, you know? It's going to take as long as it's going to take. And I think that that's probably one of the most important things.
That was Crisis Hotline Counselor Paul Butler speaking with Alana Gordon. He takes calls at the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK.
Montgomery County Emergency Service, this is Paul. How can I help you?
Okay.
Right. When you say you're struggling, have you been having thoughts about harming yourself again? And what helps keep you safe? Are you hopeful? Do you feel like things are going to eventually get better?